Hey, friends, welcome to another episode of That Sounds Fun. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs. So happy to be here with you today. I have loved hearing all your comments from last week's show with Mike Donaghy and Lauren Daigle. If you have not listened to those, go back and listen. They are two of the best ones we have had. I mean, I'm just so grateful for both of their stories and their thoughts. So make sure you check those out. Hey, the music in the background for the last week, sadly, is from our good friend, Mr. Ryan O'Neill, also known as Sleeping at Last. And this is the Enneagram 7 song. We did Enneas Summer 2019 in June, every episode about a different Enneagram type. And he let us use the music for that as well. So thanks, Ryan. You're the best, man. Make sure y'all check out his music. I just adore that guy. Hey, by the way, coming on Thursday is our Enneas Summer 2019 Q&A episode. So make sure you stick around this week and you will get to hear a lot of your questions that you've submitted over the last few months answered by an expert. Today on the show is another episode I think you're really, really going to love. Sherry Lynn is a radio broadcaster, an author, a comedian. I met her a few months ago at an event and immediately was like, you're my people. Come on my show next time you're in Nashville. And luckily she was able to swing by the office today. And I just think the world of her. And I want to let you know that this recording sounds as best as it could. It actually is miraculous how my producer Chad was able to make this recording as good as it is, because I really screwed up recording Sherry Lynn. So it is not going to sound the quality of the shows we normally do, but the conversation was just so good. And Sherry Lynn was here in the office with me that we decided we'd rather you hear it than not hear it. And we'd rather move forward and let you get to hear from this wonderful woman, even though I super screwed up the recording. So you can totally hear the conversation. It just sounds a worse quality than usual. So I apologize for that. That is totally my fault. And I still think you're going to really enjoy the conversation. You just get to lean in a little bit. So here is my conversation. And again, I'm so, so sorry for the mistake. And that is on me. But I hope you will still enjoy this conversation. In fact, I know you will, because it is a really good conversation with our friend Sherry Lynn. Okay, so you and Brant, how long have y'all been on the radio together?
Oh, wow, we started in 2012.
Oh my gosh, so that's like having a work spouse.
I don't think of it that way. I think of it more as a work sibling.
Oh, there you go. Okay, that makes sense.
Dynamic is that it's a very brother sister relationship.
Yeah,
very, very much so.
Yeah.
And so he is on the spectrum, so he has Asperger's.
Okay,
and I had never dealt with anything like that before. I just remember meeting him and thinking how wonderful and how refreshing he was in his bluntness.
Mm.
And I know everybody can't handle that.
Yeah.
But I loved it.
And yeah.
The fact that I knew he's not a chit chatter. He's not a small talk kind of guy.
Yeah.
So he will sit, if we're in a prep meeting or we're sitting, he will sit silent. And I was so okay with that, because I thought he'll say something when he needs to say something.
Yeah.
And he won't. But other people couldn't quite handle it. And so our relationship works well, because I don't. The little things that people tend to need, I guess I don't.
Yeah. And he just is caring. Like the times I've listened in, y'all really care for each other.
We do.
Yeah.
We're very connected. That is not a fake thing. That is a real thing.
Our
families are very connected. And God just did that. He really did that. When I joined the show, it was in Sacramento, California.
Uh-huh.
And it was tough because I moved out there. I'm not married. I don't have kids. And so I moved out there by myself.
For the job. Wow.
From Pittsburgh. So
oh, wow.
That was like a huge, huge thing. And so.
And that was 2012.
Yes.
Okay.
And that made his family my family, because I didn't have anybody. I had never been on my own before. My whole career was in Pittsburgh.
Oh, wow. So, were you already in radio in Pittsburgh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So when I connected with him, I connected with his family, because I didn't know. There was nowhere to go. There's nothing to do. We all just kind of bonded. I'm really grateful for that. I think if I would have, if it would have happened in Pennsylvania, where my family was, I think I probably, we may not have bonded that way, because I would have done what a lot of people do. You parachute into work and then you parachute back out.
Yeah, that's right.
Do your thing. But they really became my family.
Yeah. And Brant is white.
Yes.
And you are not.
That's true. Okay, I was wondering how I was going to tell you.
I actually knew, but the listeners, this is all audio. Tell me what it's like to work that closely with someone who's had such a different upbringing, I would assume, from your upbringing.
It's not I mean, as a minority, you always do. So it's very, very rare.
Every time.
Yeah, it's very rare that you're going to go somewhere and you're going to be, you know, in the majority.
Yeah.
So that is a dynamic that you always have.
Yeah.
To the extent that the person becomes a friend and like a family member, that is something for African Americans that we typically do not do.
Mm.
For whatever, you know, reasons that have happened in
sure.
the past and all
sure.
that, you really, really, really deal with a trust factor.
Ah, okay.
And so you think that, and I'm painting with a really broad brush here. So.
Sure, sure, sure.
But
you're telling us your experience.
I am, yeah.
Yes.
So you tend to think, okay, these are the things that have happened to me in the past.
Yeah.
These are things that have happened to my family and friends and everyone I know that looks like me in the past. These are the people who perpetrated that.
Mm.
It's not fair, I know, but you're aware. I mean, if someone that wears a red hoodie has mugged you 12 times, then not one time, 12 times a person with a red hoodie mugged you. The 13th guy with a red hoodie, is it fair? Maybe he won't. But you've been mugged 12 times with a guy with a red
hoodie. Listen, it only takes one guy in a red hoodie. So 12 is already being significantly more generous to me than you need to be.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So you don't usually, it's not usually a dynamic like that. But because he and I mean, radio is so intimate. You're in the box.
Yes.
You're in the box together. And he was so, so generous to me on the air.
Really?
Because I don't have to tell you, this industry is ego.
Yeah.
That's what it is, right? And so you have your place on the stage. I have my place on the stage. And I hold my place. You hold your place. And then I may get a little jealous if your place looks a little bigger than my place. That's
the game, yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's Christian or not.
Yeah.
But for him, he looked at the stage and said, where can she fit in? And then he made, on his platform, he made a space for me.
Yeah.
And to me, any African-American male I had been on the air with had never done that. So I'm a big girl. I have a big personality. I'll kick the door down and make myself a space if you give me a microphone. But to prepare a space for me and say, okay, this is where you fit. Because when I went to that job, I didn't go there to go on the air.
Mm.
I had been on the air my whole career. I was really just...
The one in Sacramento, you didn't go to be on the air.
I went there to help him.
Oh, interesting.
Because when I was on the air my whole career, I had gotten to a point where I was really just over all of it.
Uh-huh.
I was over it. I was over the people. I was just done. And I asked God, if you send me to someone who is smart and humble, I can build people up.
Mm.
Like, I really think that...
You're like, I can be a great number two.
I can.
Yeah.
I felt that.
Yeah.
I still feel that, is that my best role... like I said, I have a big personality, so I can...
I don't know what that's like at all.
I know.
Except that's both of us. I mean, we knew it the day we met.
I know.
We were like, oh, this was meant to be.
I didn't say that. It was me, you, and Laura Story was singing.
Yes, yes.
And I told my mom, you know, we could take this show on the road.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I loved meeting your mom, by the way. She was so sweet. That was really cool. Anyway, sorry. So you said you were a big personality. You knew going into it.
I do better producing. I do better
interesting.
Building. I do better saying, here's how, I mean, I'm a writer. I'm a director. I can say, this is where you go.
Yeah.
And so when I went to interview with the job for him, I saw... this guy needs help. Like, he was so frazzled. His hair was all over his head.
He's
trying to do this, that, and that, and that. And he doesn't have... And I thought, I can answer phones.
Yeah.
I can get his content together. I can help with social media. I can do those things. And everybody told me what a mistake I was making. That, why would you diminish yourself? When I moved out there, everyone was like, yeah. But when they saw the role...
They're like, interesting.
Why would you diminish yourself and put yourself under this guy when you could, like, everybody said that.
Yeah.
But I felt called.
Mm.
And I was okay with it. And
yeah.
So he kept saying to me, hey, you want to come on the air for that bit?
Yeah.
And when he would ask.
And you were just sitting back in the producer booth most of the time?
Yes.
Okay.
And he'd call me in, because we had two different studios. He'd call me in, I'd do it.
Yeah.
And then I'd go back and do it. And it just seemed like more and more I was on the air, and then... I never was not on. So, he did that for me. And that, not just that, but just the person he is. I just watch him stand up for people. I watch him, just the way he purely loves.
Yeah.
And the being on the spectrum gives that purity to it. There's no pretense.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, he's not expecting anything in return. And that's why when people are mean to him, he doesn't understand it.
Are people mean?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Sherry, do you want to lose your mind?
I may have.
Okay, good. I would hope so.
I have.
Yeah.
I have. I mean, I'm a little bit of a hothead anyway.
Uh-huh.
It's difficult. I've watched the way people respond to him and misread him and don't even attempt to get to know him and the beautiful person that he is.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a story?
Yes.
I was 18 or 19, I was working as a bagger in a grocery store during college. And there was a woman, her name was Denise, and she was a little developmentally challenged, but I loved her so much. She was a cashier.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would bag for her. I'd always want to find her shift.
Yeah.
Find and bag for her. And we'd play prices, right? With the
oh my gosh, to try to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she'd ring the person up, and then everyone ready.
Yeah.
Okay, and hit it, and then
Yeah.
And of course, this is not the best thing when you're trying to move a line.
It's not the fastest. Yeah.
She wasn't the fastest to begin with. So we're doing that. And I remember the guy, his name's Larry. He was the general manager there. He comes and says to her, tells her to speed it up, right?
Uh-huh.
And then he proceeds to blast her.
In front of people.
In front of everybody. Store's jam-packed.
Oh, Sherry.
And so I see her eyes, well, it was her, not 19, 18 or 19.
Yeah.
And I said to him when I got off my shift, Larry, can I see you for a second?
Uh-huh.
Back in the back.
That's impressive you waited till you got off your shift, though.
It is, especially
That's a show of self-control.
Good.
See, yeah.
I thought I was horrible.
The other party is like, everybody who needs these groceries, back, I'm going to need about 8 minutes. I'll be right back.
Just
stand still. I'll be right back.
We're still playing prices.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We are Larry, you, me, office.
Exactly what I did. I remember his face was like, who does she think she is?
Yeah.
And we went back and forth. And I'm saying, you couldn't have brought her to the back. Like, why would you embarrass her?
Yeah.
And he's at the end of the conversation, his face, he's like, Sherry, if you don't like what I did, I don't know what to tell you. And I actually now can understand that.
Uh-huh.
An 18-year-old bagger in a general manager's office. Like,
sure.
You have it.
Sure.
But when you say that, that's interesting because that's a thing in me.
It's a trait, yeah.
It's a thing in me, man.
Yeah.
If I see a misfit or someone being bullied or something like that, I will completely lose it.
Yeah. But I also think something Jess Connolly and I talk about is she is seeing in one of her children like a pull toward a people group.
Okay.
Toward helping homeless people. And she's like, she's 9 or 10. Like, how is she already, like, right. Their whole life they've watched her notice
really?
Homeless people. And so I just wonder if your whole life you noticed people who other people underappreciated for what they had to offer. And that continues to be true, that you really see people that other people don't see as valuable as they are.
I think so. I hope so. I think growing up the way I did, I was, we lived in the hood and projects until I was in sixth grade.
Okay.
And then my mom wanted a better education for us. So she found the best school district around our area and moved us there, but she couldn't afford to live in that school district. So she got a trailer.
Oh, wow.
In a trailer in that school
district. How many kids?
Just me and my brother.
Okay.
And then I went to that school and I was the only black kid. And I remember that experience. I can still taste that experience. I can still feel that. I mean, there's nothing that prepares you for that when you're 12.
Yeah, because if you're going, my guess is you went from an environment of a lot of people who looked like you to one where you were the only one.
I was the only one, and it was a hyper-focus, and it was incredibly oppressive. And I mean, kids do what they learn, right? And so whatever they've learned, whether they learn the N-word or learn whatever they've learned, that's what they give. I didn't know that then. Obviously, you don't know when you're 12.
Mm-hmm.
I know it now. I can't hold them responsible, but I've told that story before where that kind of shaped.
Man, isn't that hard? Because you want to hold them responsible because they like probably offended you on Facebook at 30 and you're like, get out of here.
There are some that I was like, I accepted their friendship and then I saw nothing had changed. And I was like, okay, no. But there's a young man, his name is Dan. I remember once I had around 9th or 10th grade, I had kind of mastered it. And so
Mastered being in that environment,
master surviving. I don't think.
Write that book, How I Mastered Surviving.
That's good.
That's impressive. Yeah.
Can somebody write that master house?
Yeah. Jenna, write that down for us.
We can co-write it.
No, it's all yours, girl. I have a lot to learn from you, so I want you to write it.
I Yeah, I learned how to. I don't know that all the learning I did was good, because I started to see people and things as chess pieces.
Remember
thinking, okay, I can play that. I see what this game is now, so I can play this game. And at that age, you're just trying to survive.
I
don't care where you are,
who you are,
whether you have what people look like you or don't. You're just trying to survive. So I kind of learned that thing. And I was a popular kid. And
I would say, I bet everyone could look back on high school and think of 9 ways they didn't fit in, and one way they did.
Yeah. Yes.
You know? Though, don't hear me saying that being the only black girl at a white school is the same as me feeling like I didn't fit in with the soccer team. Not the same. But I do think that's probably where I felt it at 2 degrees, you felt it at 90 degrees.
That's probably a good analogy that way to say it was, it's hard to explain.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to explain, because then you start to gravitate towards your group. Like, there was a group of black girls, and we, you know, once I got to high school, there was probably about 8 of us.
Oh, wow.
You just kind of hang out. But I remember Dan was a quiet white kid, and nobody would associate with him at all. So he sat in the cafeteria by himself, he ate by himself, walked to class by himself. So one time I'm in the cafeteria and I go up, and it's me, so I'm loud and too much in every single solitary way, just too much. And I'm like, Dan, why are you always sitting by yourself? Come sit with us. And he didn't.
So, the quiet white guy with the 8 black girls.
The rest of each school year.
You're kidding.
Yeah. And I can't remember Dan saying 10 words.
But he always sat with y'all.
He always sat with us. And so I go.
That makes me want to cry. That is so sweet.
Fast forward to maybe 8 years after that, I got a speeding ticket. I'm in the magistrate's office. A guy is sitting across from me. Head is shaved, big blue eyes. He's staring at me, and my first inclination
Fair.
Is, okay, skinhead's going to kill me when I leave here. Mm-hmm. And he said, Sherry? And I said, yeah. And he's like, it's Dan.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, my God, Dan. And we hugged, and we embraced, and we talked. And that's what I mean. That's always kind of been in me.
What was he there for?
I don't even know.
Dan, did you get you a speeding ticket, brother? Dan, you've been driving too fast through the streets of Philly.
I don't know what's going on with you, Dan.
Right.
God bless you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're out from another. But that's always been in me. So it's interesting you said that, because I am.
Yeah, because even Dan.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like you see people that other people don't see. For who they really are. We all see Brant.
Well,
he's a person, but you're seeing him for who some of the bosses haven't seen him to be.
I think so. I think when you do comedy, I think that gives you another eye too.
Really? Why?
Hover above. In my opinion.
We do love having comedians on the show, by the way.
Really?
We have a little crew, y'all. John, Chris, Trey Kennedy, you. We're just doing it.
There's another eye that you have that I think comedy in its best form is prophetic. I think it, and that's why I don't like when I can tell the political bent of a comedian, because a prophet doesn't have an allegiance to a king.
Right? Yeah.
Because I may have to come and tell you to Trinidad tomorrow.
Right.
My allegiance, you can't show allegiance to any king, either side, you can't. Mm. And that's why I appreciate the comedians who have ascended above that and take that place.
Yeah.
You're surveying.
Yeah.
And
who do you watch? Who are the comedians you love?
Oh, who are the comedians?
Who's doing work right now that you're like, yes, this is good prophetic work.
You know what? I love, this is going to be everybody, but I absolutely love comedians in cars getting.
Me too. I love it too.
It's a discussion.
On Netflix. Will you describe it, just in case someone hadn't seen it? Will you give a little understanding of what it is?
Seinfeld goes around. Jerry Seinfeld goes around in cars with comedians
and random antique cars.
Yes, that he picks to try to match with the personality.
Yes.
Of the person, and they drive around, and he talks about the craft of comedy.
And they go to a dingy diner somewhere in that town.
And he seems really excited to be eating there.
Yeah.
Really excited to have a cup of coffee.
Right.
And I love the discussion of comedy from that
aspect. I do too.
So for me, it's more that just sitting, listening to people who have talk about the craft.
What's the episode not to miss to you?
Oh gosh, that's so good. What do I? I watch. I'm ashamed to say how many times I've watched the Alec Baldwin one.
I am a huge fan of Alec Baldwin.
I am too, and he tells a story about Kurt Russell, I think it's something about the there's two or three stories, and because of what we do, you like that someone who could take the language and be very concise with
yep.
it. And again, I'm nuts about this stuff, Annie. Storytelling, comedy, anything like
yeah.
that, I'm a geek about it.
Yeah.
So I actually timed his story, like
really,
there's two or three stories he tells. And the first time he was on the show,
yeah,
that he's in there in the car, and he says to Jerry, Jerry's like, "Oh, look at that truck of ice cream," and Alec's like, "Yeah, that looks good." And he's like, "You know, I've been off ice cream." Jerry's like, "I know," and Alec goes, "You never been fat a day in your life, have you?" And he's like, "Well, no," because your whole life is one unbroken boulevard of green lights.
It's a great line.
I couldn't stop. Things like that just grabbed
yeah,
me. And
yeah.
just rewind,
yeah.
rewind. So that's the, for me, that was the not miss one.
Yeah.
And I thought that the Eddie Murphy one in
yes.
was really, really good because he was kind of open about not doing comedy anymore
uh-huh.
and being, you know, that being a regret.
Yeah.
That he didn't keep it going.
Yeah.
Because that's a muscle that you have to continue to
right.
flex or it will completely go away.
Right.
Then your nerves won't let you do it anymore.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Those are two episodes.
Talk about something that I deal with a lot that I bet you do as well is I will say, like, we will have this conversation and go, Alec Baldwin, yes.
Yeah.
And someone will email me and go, how can you be a fan of someone who believes this, this, and this, and this?
Yeah.
Or how do you like someone? Mm-hmm. And then you'll have someone from the left go, how could you retweet a story from Fox News?
Yes.
Or someone from the right go, how could you like Alec Baldwin?
Mm-hmm.
How is it okay to be a fan and a friend of someone who doesn't believe everything you believe?
Oh, my goodness.
How do we do that well?
I don't know. I hope I do it well. I think what I try to do is put myself out there as a person who obviously loves the Lord, obviously 1,000% dependent on grace,
uh-huh.
and not put myself in a position where you think that... I put it this way. If tomorrow I was to get in a fight in Walmart, I wouldn't want people to necessarily be like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I want people to be like, that's a shame, but you know, she,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I try to put myself out there, not as a person who there's just a space that I try not to inhabit.
Yeah.
So that people wouldn't have those expectations of me.
Mm.
Now, that being said, doing what we do, you can't be on 200 radio stations and not get those.
Yes.
Emails.
Yes.
And so I think the last one I got was about Lauren Daigle.
Mm. Who was just on the show.
Yeah, really?
We just had her on, yeah.
Yeah, and I think she's doing a fantastic job. How old
yeah.
is she?
25,
okay.
maybe.
Now, 25.
Listen, if everyone could go back and make those decisions at 25, I wish they would. I wish they would get a chance. You walk in Lauren Daigle's shoes for a mile and a half and see if your toes aren't bleeding.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that's what I responded to the person who, you know, said something to me, and they said it in a very kind way.
Yeah.
Basically what you said, how can you?
Yeah.
She.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I guess when we talk about the story of the woman caught in adultery, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone analyzes that story, I think we automatically see ourselves as, well, the Pharisees, the one who won.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Jesus, who is telling her your sins.
Right.
You're the woman.
Yeah.
I'm the woman.
Right.
So I can't have the taste of dust in my mouth and then, you know, brush that off and be like, now who else around here?
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Let me tell you that about how I feel about that story. I'm like, can someone go catch the man? Because
right.
she wasn't by herself. But it's a different time.
That's so true.
We can talk about that some other time.
Hashtag, where's he?
Yeah. Hashtag, where's he? Hashtag, I wish someone would talk to him. I also think it's super important. Something that I'm learning, and I see you doing it really well, is it is friendship is not an endorsement of full behavior of another person.
That's right.
Because you're my friendship. You may not endorse every single thing. You may not like the football teams I like,
right, right.
or you may not like some of the beliefs I even have
yeah.
around how I think church should run,
right.
or like I get to have a vote. I don't. But you know, like. that does not determine friendship to me.
Right.
Now, am I going to marry Alec Baldwin? No, because he's married.
Right.
And is he like my mentor in my life? No, because we disagree on some pretty big things.
Right.
Can I be friends with him? Totally.
Absolutely. Can I appreciate? This is a great...
This is a very gifted artist.
Yeah.
And this happens across... This is a Lauren Day... This is an Annie Downs, whoever, of like, can you be friends and not agree with everybody? Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Well, I mean, if you can't, then it'd be very, very difficult to know how the light will ever touch darkness.
If you can't be friends with people who are different than you, you are in the cult of Christianity, not the faith of it.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good way.
Because you are only turned inward.
Yeah.
And I just, I'm not here for that, Sherry.
I'm not either. That's a real...
I'm making some people unhappy about it, but I'm just not here for it. Yeah. I am not here for only being friends who look like me and talk like me and think like me.
Yeah.
My life is so much better.
It would have to be. I mean, it's...
With more people.
Christ, it would be like... A body with all arms.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
We are all different.
Right.
And I just don't have, I said this to a critic once before, I don't have the body of work, my history, my past. I don't have the body of work to stand up and say the things you're saying. Right. So my past.
Yeah.
You could open up some of them closets. There's
Listen,
stuff falling out.
That's
like,
right.
But thank God it wasn't a time of cell phones and all of that.
Was not he so gracious to us that we did not have cell phones and Instagram as high schoolers?
But
I can't imagine.
You, if I stand up and start saying, you know, you should and you should and you should, there's a Polaroid somewhere.
Uh-huh.
That somebody will be like, well, what about this? So I can't, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm only here because of his grace.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
So I can't inhabit that space. I don't have that kind of past.
Yeah.
Other people do. To God be the glory. You do what you do. And I'm still your friend.
And I just love the scriptures. Like, it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance.
Yes, it is.
And so if I get to be friends with people who aren't like me, who don't believe everything I believe, can I trust that my life, the conversations we have, are under the power of the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit's actually doing all the work.
Yeah.
I'm just living my life in this friendship.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit will lead people to repentance. That ain't my job.
Yeah.
That is not my job. My job is to be friends, love God, and love other people.
Yeah. I think we got into, I don't know how, like we read the scripture about go make disciples and then the whole kind of evangelism move. And we got into the whole notches in the belt type of thing.
Uh-huh.
Like the whole altar call, our whole life is an altar call. So everybody's always constantly walking down our aisle asking us, what must I do?
Yeah.
And that starts to really become about us. I love this person. I love that person. I love this person.
Gross.
But you know what? The Holy Spirit can do his work.
Yeah.
Guess what? He's still doing his work.
And certainly being friends with you and being friends with me is hearing stories of what Jesus is doing in our lives.
Always.
I sat with a friend the other day and I said, what do you hope happens next? He goes, okay, here's what I'm manifesting. And then made a list. And I was like, you do that. Here's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm going to write that list down and I'm going to pray.
Okay.
And I was like, so you do that, I'll do this, and we'll just ask God to make a way because he made your life.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's done in my... So just being friends with people, they're going to... If we're living wide open to who we really are, they're going to hear about Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm hiding or you're hiding Jesus from him. No.
I only breathe because of him. I'm
right.
Nuts.
Come on.
I am not a sane person without the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm grateful that I've seen what that looks like, what that person looks like. I've seen what she can do.
Yep.
I've seen
I know her.
I
live with her.
Yeah. So thank God for what the Holy Spirit does.
Yep.
And he'll do it in a day.
I'm sure the same is true with your coworkers, but Jenna, on the days when I don't spend any time with the Lord and I don't connect at all in the morning, I get in, I'm like, you're going to have a hard day because you need to know who you're working with today.
You want to come tell the story?
Yeah. So why wouldn't I be friends with people who are different than me?
They need him like I need him.
Oh, they need him like I need him. When they need him and I don't, that's when we think we can't be friends.
That's right.
Because we think, well, I don't need what they need.
Yeah.
It's like, no,
That's a good point.
Hey, friends, just interrupting this conversation with Sherry real quick to tell you about our good friends over at Third Love. Y'all know how I adore them. For all you ladies out there, this is the perfect bra, and you need one if you don't have one already. It has the perfect fit, and they use data points from millions of women who've taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with size and shape in mind for the perfect fit and the premium feel. And there's more sizes than most other brands. In fact, they offer over 70 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes. And it's so convenient, y'all. You don't have to go to the store. You just find your fit with Third Love's online fit finder. You order and try it on at home. No more of that awkward fitting room experience. So after you take the Fit Finder quiz, which is so easy, it takes like a minute. Over 12 million women have taken the quiz, and it's actually fun. It's not hard at all. And it's 100% fit guarantee from Third Love, which I think is amazing. Every customer has 60 days to wear, wash, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, just return it, and Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need, which I think is a really cool part of this. And also, this is hands down the most comfortable bra you will own. Straps that won't slip and tagless labels so it's not itchy. And they have lightweight, super thin memory foam cups that mold to your shape and are proprietary to Third Love. That's impressive. Third Love knows that there is a perfect bra for every gal out there. So right now, they are offering you guys, our friends, 15% off your first order. Listen, if you haven't done this yet, go now, thirdlove.com/soundsfun. And that is where you'll find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. So remember, that's thirdlove.com/soundsfun for 15% off today. Okay, now back to my conversation with Sherry. I just want everyone to be friends with everyone. Is that stupid? That's my life goal. I want my friends to be friends with my friends. Because I think when people fall in love with the people of God, they'll fall in love with God.
I agree. And I think if you open yourself up to those kind of friendships, you become richer for it.
Oh, gosh.
And you know what the thing is?
That's true.
When I moved to California, I didn't have that.
Yeah.
Like, I do what most black people do, which is you will work in what we call majority culture.
Uh-huh.
And do whatever you got to do. You may have lunch with Sally. You may, you know, go on a business trip with Judy, whatever.
Uh-huh.
But those people don't come into your world. They're over there. You know what I mean? And I have
yes.
to function. So I call it, when you know, what I call, a lot of us have developed a functional hate, meaning I can go in and work with you because I got to pay rent. So I can go in and work with you and be okay. And smile. That we've learned to do that.
Uh-huh.
And then go home and be like, you know, I can't take another, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So when I went to Sacramento, God had to work that out in me.
Uh-huh.
It was almost like a Peter moment where it's like, you know, okay, go over to Cornelius. Go where?
Yeah.
With who?
Yeah.
And eat where? What? And I had to learn how to, and man, that was...
Okay, wait, Sherry, you're teaching me something mm-hmm. so important here. What's my role in this as a white girl? I don't do this. Mm-hmm. I don't go into my black friends' communities. Not on purpose. I just think, look, we're here. We're at the same meal.
Do they invite you?
No, I don't know that we've ever talked about it. And you know me enough to, I should go, now that you're saying this to me, I'm going to go, hey, Amina, can I come with you to church?
Yeah,
can I,
yeah.
How about on Wednesday night? Can I just, whatever we were going to do for dinner, can you decide?
Yeah.
And you, I may need to invite myself in more.
I think that's good. I think you're very, very guarded when as an African American. I can only speak as me.
You know,
you're very guarded, and then we're in very heightened times right now.
Sure.
Then that's not me blaming anyone. That's not me.
Sure. It's just the truth.
This is where we're at.
Yeah.
You have to feel it.
Yeah.
And whoever you believe the perpetrator is or isn't, mm-hmm, you still mm-hmm. have to feel it.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you that feeling it in this skin is different than feeling it
yes.
in a skin that doesn't have this color.
I'm sure.
And so you start to shut down and collapse into your community
mm-hmm.
for what you perceive to be safety. Now, it's not, no one's hurting you, no one's, but just emotional safety,
yep.
keeping yourself from the fear
mm-hmm.
and the confusion and who's for me or who's against me. You'll just start to collapse inwardly. And you need someone who says, can I come to church with you?
Okay.
To kind of break that up. And then on your side, what I would humbly suggest.
Yes. I'm asking you.
That,
yeah.
Is to understand that the offense, whether it is perceived or real, is always bubbling under the surface. Like
okay.
you put 1,000 black people in an auditorium and you say, who's experienced this? Who has experienced that? Who has experienced this? The majority, if not all hands will go up.
Okay.
Right? So this is what we've gone through.
Right? Yeah.
And so I can have a tendency to perceive racial slight. Like, so here's what I'll say. I have a tendency to overdiagnose racism because I've seen it so much.
Yes.
If I start to see a hint of what I think maybe that's what it is, then that's racism.
Yeah.
And then if you've never felt it, I would need you to acknowledge your tendency to underdiagnose.
100%.
To be able to say, you say, well, you know what, I don't.
I think we've taken care of it.
That, because what you are calling me is you're calling me delusional. You're calling me stupid. You're calling, even when you try to say, well, I understand if that's what you see. That's not helpful either. Because you're condescending. Like, I'm a grown woman. I've had the experiences I've had. My mother is old enough to remember different fountains.
Yeah.
My mother still is old enough to remember sitting somewhere else.
Yeah.
So it's not that far removed from us, even though it may be that far removed from you. So if you have African-American friends, being able to just not feel like you have to have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you don't.
Yep.
Or do anything that you did, which was wonderful, which is I'm not equating this with that.
Right, right.
Because sometimes you do that and black people will shut down.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Because that's what I was going to say to you is I bet you feel it as a woman too. Because again, in a much smaller degree, there are moments where I click into being the only woman in an environment.
Yeah, yeah.
And I will say to myself, this is a taste of the meal that Sherry eats.
Yeah.
It is a taste. So I can go, oh, that thing of I assume.
Yeah.
There are rooms I walk into with all men and I assume some things.
Yeah, right. And you do it for protection, right?
Like,
to make sure nothing.
You're like, oh, I'm about to.
Yeah. So arrow doesn't come at you and you aren't expecting it. You start throwing all these walls up. And so if you're friends with someone, I just would say, you know, be patient with them. And sometimes they're going to perceive slight that you mean.
Yeah.
And just kind of walk through life. But there's no better relationship than
right.
Because it softens your heart. My heart has been softened.
So mine too.
Like, yeah, you know what? Those white evangelical, hold it.
Yeah.
That's not everybody.
Yeah.
I have friends who are not that. Well, I would have never been able, full disclosure, I would have never been able to say that before I moved to California.
Oh, wow.
I wouldn't have had anything to say. And
it's
not to say that I didn't have white people in my life.
Yeah.
It just wasn't to the extent that these people are my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really, really grateful to God for doing that.
Yeah. My hope is that the moms who are listening whose kids are in school with Asian kids, black kids, Native American kids, African, that they go like, I want to make sure I know that mom or that dad or there's just it. I feel like in my life, and so I can't put this on any other person in my life. It's just a real good time to like, make sure my friends know they're my friends.
Yes.
You know, and I am maybe a little bit of a late bloomer. Mm-hmm. And so part of it is I'm a little bit of a late bloomer to like, oh, this is something I can help with.
Okay.
And also, our culture is asking more of all of us right now, as far as being on the same team.
And there's nothing that feels better than to, cause you feel like you're always defending yourself. You feel like I know what it tastes like. If someone calls me the N-word, and I've been called that many, many times.
Really?
I know what it feels like. I know your eyes. I know the position of your mouth. I know how you stood. I know how you... So that if you don't use the N-word anymore, but you say something else, and everything else matches that, then I know you've found a new word.
Wow.
But what happens is... people will then come at you, well, what did they say? Well, are you sure?
Yeah.
Well, who's to say that? And what I'm trying to tell you is the experience of it, not just the word, not just the, you know, hey, you know, whatever you can say. There's an experience that is palpable to me that may not be tangible to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so please don't dismiss me because you don't see a burning cross in my yard.
Yes.
Well, then must not be. And just try to trust that I've seen it so much.
Yeah.
And
man, I'm sorry.
And then I try to be humble enough to say, yeah, you've seen it those 15 times, but this 16th time isn't that.
Yeah.
And I have to be open to that. What I've really, really been struggling with, this is a struggle. This, I have not conquered this in any way, shape, or form. Is thinking about Jesus on the cross. And we talked about this. Me and Brant talked about this on one of the podcasts about forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing. And then that's that. Then it's finished. They didn't repent. Because I think that's what I'm waiting for someone to come along and be like, you know what? I'm sorry. Everything you thought I was doing, I was actually doing. And that's not going to happen. But it didn't stop the bloodiness of the cross. He still forgave in that suffering moment.
Yeah.
Wasn't because of repentance. It was paving the way to repentance. And so he's the great offended one, right? Yeah. God is the great offended one. And so he always comes to the offended one and says, okay, so this is what I did. So this is what you have to do. And now trying to wrestle with that forgiveness piece that he did, that's a very specific thing that I'm trying to.
This weekend I read this scripture that talked about how Jesus, one, died for all. And so that puts us all in the same boat.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's great. And I was sitting at brunch with some friends and we were talking about how there are times where that more often than not, we go like, yeah, right. Everybody, shouldn't we all be in the same boat? Aren't you loving everybody else? And then people are mean to Beth Moore and I don't want them to be included in that.
Yeah.
And the Lord's like, I actually mean that they're in the boat too.
We're all. Yes,
right. Like it's really easy for me to point and to turn my body in one direction and go, all those people, y'all better start being nice.
Yeah.
But when I have to turn the other direction to the people who've used that word to you before, or the people who are rude to Beth Moore online and are like, they've said awful things. I have to go like, oh, they're in the same boat as me too.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that.
I'm wrestling with it. I really am. And I want to wrestle with it. It's just like with my father, when I was doing a talk show and the guy was saying the book was about forgiveness. I remember this, and I'm talking to him, and I felt it in my stomach as he was talking about forgiveness and realizing the deep-seated resentment I had towards my father and thinking and knowing that God is saying, okay, now my way is forgiveness. Are you going to take that way or no? And that's a decision. The process still has to happen, but that's a decision. Yes, I am going to do it. And the guy's talking like we're doing now. And I have completely shut down.
Oh, right. Your brain is like gone. Yeah.
He's still going on and on. The producer's looking at me through the glass like, what are we?
Yeah.
And I had collapsed inwardly because I could understand, okay, you're going to have to. And that was a process, man. That process was just brutal because, again, I'm dealing with an unrepentant person. I'm dealing with a person who's not going to ever acknowledge what he did.
Yes.
And so now how do I forgive? So, and that's just going on in the line, Annie. You know what I mean? It's just never like, okay, I did that.
Yeah, done. Look at me. I'm right. Fixed.
Everybody.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and I Brandt wrote a book called Unoffendable, which is a masterpiece. And it talks about that.
Yeah.
About choosing not to take offense.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time he talked to him, before he was even thinking of writing a book, he had the thesis and he was talking about, and we got into a bitter argument on the air.
Oh, wow.
About, like, he's saying, you can't hold on to your anger. And I'm saying, well, what, I'm not going to pretend like I don't have it. That's going to really get into trouble. Period.
Yeah, right? That's right.
And then we get into the whole, like, well, introvert, extrovert thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, it's easy for you to say, well, just drop it because you bury it. But I'm a person of words. I like to talk. I gotta get it out of me.
Yeah.
So we went, Ben, he's like, but you, if God did not hold on to his to you, who are you to hold on to yours for someone else? And I remember that. And I remember wrestling with that and thinking and coming around to it. Like, you know what? Doggone it. You're right.
Yeah.
And so it's a continual process. It always pops itself back up.
Like,
are you going to forgive or are you not?
Well, okay, we're going to talk about your book in just a second, but I have one more thought. One of the things that encourages me in a backwards way when you tell the story of knowing the stance that someone's taking when they're going to call you something unbelievable is that gives me a little bit of hope that you also know the stance when I am coming to you genuine in friendship, but I may say the wrong thing. I mean, not that word.
No.
But I mean, like, where you also can read the stances of your white friends who are going like, this is me trying.
Yeah.
I'm bad at this because of how I grew up or what I'm learning or what I don't know. Mm-hmm. But my stance is I want to be a good friend to you, even if I say the wrong thing.
Okay. I had a friend, very affluent, very rich friend, white couple. They were wonderful and I loved them dearly. she and I would go hang out and do stuff.
Yeah.
And then the three of us would hang out and just, I love her. And she would do what you said, would just say things that I expected. I don't know what people expect. I really don't. Like, if you've never been in it, we are the minority.
Uh-huh.
People, we're not around them. So
right.
How in the world would they know what to say, what not to say, how to say it? I expect it, right? But that doesn't make it any, it doesn't hurt.
Sure,
look,
sure, sure.
When you feel it. So she would say certain things and be like, you know, well, why did you say this? Or how did she, oh, I didn't mean it that way. And we would just go through because of what you're saying, because I knew that she was a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And one time, she wanted to see a Tyler Perry movie.
Uh-huh.
Which just blew me away.
Madea is very funny.
It's like, okay. So she came and picked me up. We went to a Tyler Perry movie at a theater where there would be a lot of people that look like me.
Mm-hmm.
And we go in and we get our tickets, right? And then you go to the next step is the popcorn,
yeah.
Right? And then you go and you give your tickets to the little man that's usually sitting there.
Yeah.
And he tells us what theater, like Theater 7.
Yeah.
We go down to Theater 7. As we're walking to Theater 7, someone runs past us, one of the employees. And stands in front of the door of the actual auditorium.
Uh-huh.
And so we get to the auditorium, and she's like, can I see your ticket again, please? So as African-Americans, we are used to what I call extra verification. Like, if I'm cashing a $2,000 check, I automatically block out, you know, an hour and a half at the bank. Because it's going to be everything but go get my dead grandmother, God bless her,
yeah.
and have her vouch for me. So that you choose your battles. You know that it's happened. You just kind of build that into who you are and what you are. But my friend is with me, and she has never gone through anything like that.
Yeah.
So when the girl gets in front of the door,
I'd have been like, no.
Yeah.
We don't get to do that.
Right, Annie. That's what happened.
Right.
She said, why are you asking for my ticket again?
Yeah.
So I still have my ticket out the gate.
Right. You're ready.
Let's just go.
Yeah.
And the girl said, well, sometimes we need to. She said, sometimes you need to what?
Uh-huh.
So, well, there are times when, you know, we need to be able to make sure that everyone has the right to. She said, I have never had to give. But she's doing it with that, like, sweet suburban smile.
Uh-huh.
She's like, I have never had to give my ticket.
Yeah.
Again, at the door of the auditorium. So there's a line starting to form behind
me. Uh-huh.
And I still have my hand out with the ticket in one hand of popcorn. And so I'm starting to realize she's not going to give.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at her face is red and she is livid. And so I just gently like tapped her arm like, okay, just give her the ticket.
Yeah.
So she gives her the ticket. The girl, because the girl has a safe face at this point. She's like, you're right. I was being a jerk. I'll go and leave. So she rips it and we go in. And she is seething.
Uh-huh.
The whole movie seething.
Yeah.
3-4 months later, that's gone to me. Why?
Yeah.
I got 6 of those in a week, so what's the difference?
Yeah.
But to her, she would bring it up. Yeah, just like when we went to the movies.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of relationship, right?
Right.
Now you got to taste what I taste in the space while I'm tasting it.
Yes.
That is so much better than anything I could explain to you.
Yes.
So when you say have these relationships so that you can feel and so that they can feel and be like, you know what, this person isn't trying to hurt me.
Mm.
They don't know what to say or what not to say. So that's the beauty of those kind of relationships.
Yeah. Man, I'm so grateful that you enjoy talking about this with me as well. I am in a posture of learning a lot. I want to learn a lot and make sure I'm doing. And my friends who are listening, we all want to do this better, no matter what shade of human you are. We all want to do this better. The people who gather here aren't the mean ones.
Yeah.
You know, like we can tell stories about the people who say mean things to me because they don't listen.
Right.
They're not here. Everyone who's here is our friend.
Right.
And so we have kind of just made a group decision this summer that we wanted to learn better and be better. And so thank you for helping me learn and be better.
And what I hope I do is I hope that I learn better. I hope that I don't posture myself like some sort of expert and not know that my heart still needs to be soft.
Well, you are an expert in what it's been like to be you.
Yeah,
and so am I.
Yeah.
I'm an expert in what it's been like to be me. And so all I've asked you to do is be an expert on yourself. And you've done a beautiful job of telling us that.
Okay. Yeah.
So, because I think there's no one in 2019 who's going, well, that is the full experience of every Black woman, you know, or like what Annie talks about every show is exactly what every woman has experienced. No, it's just mine.
Yeah.
It's so I'm grateful. Okay. We don't have a ton of time, but we've got to talk about your book. book because it's just so funny. People just need to know. For men and women listening, get ready, dudes. It's literally, I Want to Punch You in the Face, But I Love Jesus is the title. The ultimate PMS companion book, Sherry Lynn. You wrote a whole book on PMS?
I did.
Tell me more.
Brant and I were doing a prep meeting. This is where it started. We were doing a prep meeting, and we were sitting in the DJ room. We're talking about what we're going to talk about, and I can hear a person in the room was scraping their yogurt container with their spoon.
Sure, just getting it out. Yeah.
And then slurp, and then slurp. And I was PMSing, and it was like every part of my nerves were just being ripped into shreds. And so Brant's just talking, and he's like, is there anything you want to talk about on the show? And I said, every 28 days, I want to kill somebody. And so he said, is there anyone specific? You specifically.
Right.
And we talked about it.
Yeah.
I said, let's talk about it on the show. Well, that is terrifying to
sure.
on a Christian radio network, right?
Yeah.
But we found a way around it, and the floodgates just opened. Like,
and when did y'all move to Florida? Sorry, we've skipped over that.
We moved to Florida last year,
but
we had to stop in Pennsylvania, so we were from Sacramento to Pennsylvania to Florida.
Okay. And what radio station are you on in Florida?
Gosh, we're syndicated. So
What's the show called? So people can look
Hanson
it up.
Show.
The Brant Hanson Show. Okay.
Brant Hanson Show.
And it's on Christian radio.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're
that's
on,
awesome.
We're on with quite a few stations across the country.
Yeah.
I noticed women were calling and emailing, and then I did.
After that conversation.
Yes, and then I had a list of my Facebook regimen, and then I had a list of things to do, and women, that went viral, and I thought, wow, there is market out here, because we go through it, it's the majority of our lives, mm-hmm. no one ever talks about it, mm-hmm. about it. We talk about the manifestation of it,
yeah.
anger and overeating and anything else you want to put with it, but we never talk about, every 28 days, this life's going to get a little harder.
Yeah.
And that's happening.
Yeah.
This is a chemical thing that is happening.
Yeah.
And I wanted women to feel not alone. Because even in your women's groups and stuff, you don't talk about it.
Right.
And then in church, it's usually, and this, I'm not impugning this, I'm just saying, it's usually guy up there speaking.
Yes.
So he's not going to talk about it. He's probably a victim of it. So we just that's what he had to press through to get
that's
to
right.
the stage. So he's not going to talk about it. So where do you get to talk about this thing that is going on?
That's true, yeah.
And so I equate it with the Hulk, like you just turned into, you know what I mean, this monster.
Yeah.
Going back to David Banner. So I thought, yeah, I want to do that. And so, of course, no publisher would publish it. And I understood that. I really did. What Christian publisher is like, yes, I want to punch you in the face, but I love Jesus.
Yeah.
That's the next book we're looking for.
Yeah.
So, every publisher said the same thing. Yes to you, no to this.
Yeah.
But this is a book I felt like God gave me.
Yeah.
And I was great. I'm grateful and, you know, have the benefit of actually having a platform so that I could do the book on my own.
Yeah.
And it would, you know, do well because of the platform.
Talk about how PMS affects people's faith, women's faith.
Every 28 days, I thought I was backsliding.
Yes. No one talks about this, that you feel like your connection with God is off.
That is right.
And you are not giving hormones near the respect that they need.
That is right. That's all I wanted.
Yeah.
I was late 20s, early 30s before I was like, oh, this is a cycle. So from the time I began all those years, everything that comes along with it, I was equating that with spiritual immaturity. Now, to
yes.
be sure, some of it was.
Right.
But it's going to be harder during this time.
Yeah.
So that's what I try to put out in the book. You know, there's been a lot of people who say thank you.
Yeah.
Or other people who say, you're just giving women a reason to act poorly. And I said, it's I want to punch you in the face, but not and.
Yes, that's right.
You know what I mean? Like, if it was and, then okay.
That's a problem.
Right?
Yeah.
But means I'm giving some consideration.
Yeah.
God, please help me not to manifest these things. Because I talk about Jezebel in the Bible and how she just can't be corrected.
Uh-huh.
And that if you allow that every 28 days, you just allow yourself to be that person because this is what I'm going through. That will become you all the other days, too.
Oh, get that.
God is always sending an Elijah to say to you, hey, no.
Yeah. No. It doesn't have to be your husband. Doesn't have to be your boyfriend. Doesn't have to be your kids. No. It could be a girlfriend or a sermon or a podcast you hear.
Yes. And sending in Elijah to tell you together. And if you allow yourself to run amok once a month, that will become the whole month. And so I do challenge women.
But
for the most part, it's funny. It's a short book so that I've had women say they read it every 28 days to kind of feel a sense of community.
Yeah. Are you going to keep writing? I mean, we got your next book title. What was it, Jenna?
Jenna, did you write? She didn't write it, though.
She didn't write. She didn't. It's something about surviving, though. Everybody else knows. We've just done a lot of work since then out here. We've been a lot of places. We'll get it.
You know what? I've never written for, written a book. That was what was so scary to me.
Uh-huh.
I've written for stage and I've written for
screen. Yeah.
So that's why I made a character in the book, Patty Michelle Sinclair, with BMS. But anyway, that's why I did that. But I love writing for stage.
Okay.
And so I love that kind. So yes.
So doing stand-up kind of stage? Or are you talking about writing musicals, plays?
I've written musicals.
Oh, wow.
Musical on race. And so I did this musical where it was a black pastor and a white pastor. They went to seminary together.
Uh-huh.
Their lives went different paths, and now both of their churches have no money.
Oh, wow.
So they decide to combine churches to save money.
Okay.
What that looks like as their congregations combine, as their families try to combine.
Wow.
A musical for that. And so, I love
that. That also sounds like a novel I want to read. If you want to write that into a novel.
Oh, gosh.
You got all sorts of spare time. If you could just knock that out in your spare time, that'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jen, did you write that down?
You got the rest of this day. You don't fly home till the morning.
That's
so
true.
If you could just write a novel this afternoon.
All right, and I'll send it out.
I'd really appreciate it. So your words are just really helpful and good and funny. And whenever you make people laugh, they'll listen to you. I mean, it's prophetic. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
You're getting to do prophetic work.
Laughter lets the words come and sit.
Yeah.
And that's very important to me.
Yeah.
So even when I wrote the play, and then I did a comedy show, a whole comedy show on race.
Yeah.
And it was funny. We had skits. I did it like a Carol Burnett kind of thing because I knew you'll take this because
yes
and so that's what I try.
Angela Johnson and I have talked about this before. John and Chris and I have talked about before about this, like, they can get up on stage and say things that I can never say from stage from a preaching, teaching point of view.
That's right.
And I mean, they can say things about our faith and how we're behaving that people like laugh and then go, oh, I hate that. He's right, but I hate it. If I do it, they're like, that is so offensive that you would say that if I'm not being funny,
I know.
And so I think a comedy is such a gift. So thank you for working in that craft.
Thank you.
It is such a gift.
When are we going on the road together?
I mean, we got to. Okay, listen, here's the last question we always ask.
Yeah.
Because the show is called That Sounds Fun.
Uh-huh.
What do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun? I go to the beach. So I live.
Are y'all that close?
We are.
Oh.
So beach is something that that's how I reward myself.
How long's the drive door to door? Door to sand?
21 minutes.
Girl, 21 minutes door to sand.
It's a beautiful drive too.
Yeah.
Right along the water.
Do you go every day?
I go at least Saturday is my day where I'm like, this is my beach day.
Uh-huh.
It's that thing I keep on the horizon. So as I'm working through the week.
Sabbath.
That's my thing. So
that's right.
That's what I do for fun. I do that. And then
swimming, laying at the beach, reading. What are you doing?
Reading.
Just reading.
I got an umbrella.
What are you reading right now? Anything we need to know about?
Comedians. So
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's a book that chronicles comedy from the beginning here in America all the way through.
Okay.
And so I just finished the SNL biography, which is really, really, really good. So
okay.
When I say
you are about the craft.
I am. I'm very, very, very into the craft.
Yeah.
I love the craft of it.
That's amazing.
I've been studying that and reading that.
Okay. So you just sit under the umbrella.
Sit under the umbrella.
Because we care about our skin.
And I love the
waves. I'm the same way.
It's the waves. Like it's the sound and just that's what I do for my downtime.
Yeah.
And then family.
Yeah.
Always my people.
Is your mom live in Florida now too?
My mom lives with me, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes.
Where's your brother?
My brother's in Philly.
Okay.
And so he has two girls and I, fly them in from time to time.
Yeah.
Because, an auntie who doesn't have kids, who isn't married. I always tell my brother, this is probably who's going to bury me.
Yeah.
So I got to make sure they...
Do you want to get married?
I'd ask you that.
Yeah.
You do?
Uh-huh.
Have
for
you
sure I do.
Hope at all?
No.
No?
I mean, I've had seasons where it doesn't feel as fun, but yeah. No, I still, that's still what I really want.
Really? I would love that.
Okay. Good. That's good for us to know. So we can be thinking and setting up with, setting you up. What you looking for? Tell us the man you're looking for.
I'm looking for someone who can handle this job.
Amen to that.
That has been the hardest thing. And so that's why I asked you, have you given up hope? Because there are times when I'm like, well, maybe that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
And then what is your life going to look like? Like, those are the discussions I have with myself.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen, what is life looking like now? Right.
Yes.
And so I
try to hold them both. I'm with you. I hold them both at the same time.
Yeah. Yep.
Here's what I want that I don't have. Here's what I have that I do not deserve.
Yeah.
So.
And that is the thing, right?
Yeah.
I've talked with single women before talking about how I'm always a little afraid I'm asking God for a king, right? So that, like, when Israel is fine.
Interesting.
But it's like, hey, are we going to get a king or what? Yeah. He's like, I mean, I can get you a king, but that's going to change everything. Yeah, get us a king. We want a king. Everybody
and then it's Saul.
When do I get a king? Okay, here. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Saul.
Yeah.
And it just changes the trajectory of everything. And so I know people can say, well, that's all Jesus can. I know. But what I'm saying
is. Yeah, you're allowed to feel what you feel.
Yeah. That I'm always a little worried. Everything comes with other stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so
there is a cost. Every yes has a bunch of no's.
Yes, that is right. So. And so when you've gotten to a certain age, you start to realize that that pie in the sky looks a little different.
Yeah.
You're just asking. Yes.
And the truth is, either of us could have been married three times over if we just married any dude.
That's fair.
Everybody listening could be married.
Yes,
you just have decided this is the kind of man or woman that you want.
That's right.
And that person hasn't come along.
That is right. And someone who can handle this job and not feel intimidated and
sure.
feel in the shadow.
Do you care if he's older or younger?
Does
he have to be in his 30s? Can he be in his 40s, 50s? Can he be in his 20s?
20s.
Okay, not his 20s.
20s.
I'm still kind of open to the 20s. I'm pretty open to that.
Yeah,
I'm still open to 20s. The very high, the high 20s, high 20s.
28.
Yeah, yeah.
28, 29.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
24,
25. 0%. I'm not trying to raise him up in the way he should go so he won't depart from it. Yeah. I'm not here to raise a person. No. I'm talking 28 minimum. Yeah.
28.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking 28 north.
Okay. Yeah. No, I can. Yeah. Not 28.
Okay.
We'd have to.
So 30s. 30s plus.
Yes, 30s plus.
Do you want a black guy?
I do.
Okay.
Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah. I mean, all I'm doing is getting everybody to collect. I'm getting everybody to start scrolling through their Instagram. I'm like, y'all, everybody, while you're listening to me, get your phone out, start scrolling through your Instagram. And when you see a cute man that lines up with this story, I want you to DM his profile to Sherry. And vice versa.
That's good.
So we need to know if that's a deal breaker for you that he's over 28, 29. And a deal breaker for you if he is of your same race. That's great.
I would like that, and I would like someone who's just smart and funny. Like
funny black man.
Yeah, I want us to be able to laugh together and not take life too seriously.
Loves Jesus. Is that top Jesus. Two? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. In a very solid, and when I say quiet, I mean not that he's
of his spirit.
His spirit is strong.
Yeah.
Cause
confident.
I grew up in church, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I've learned is when there's a lot of yada 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 and a bunch of antics, usually that's less.
That's making up for something.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's making up for something.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's what people say about me sometimes too. Annie's got a lot of words. She's making up for something. There's something lacking.
Yeah, people say, well, I don't know if people say that about me.
Yeah.
Usually they're like, just can you pull it back? Just a little.
Okay, so what is the reward if we find your dude?
Oh my goodness.
Will y'all come back on the show?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, great.
Absolutely.
Okay, everybody, you got your marching orders.
Absolutely.
Find our girl Sherry, her dude.
On this show.
Let's go. Somebody out there is like, oh my gosh, this is my friend Daryl. She just described Daryl. Bizarrely, Daryl lives in Florida.
They're listening to podcasts like Jaquan.
Yeah. I got your girl, Jaquan. I found her. See, maybe that's what we start doing is we just start a dating service for all my guests. Oh, if you come on here and you're willing to be set up, listen, our people are serious about some things.
Really?
And one of them is friendship. You are our new favorite radio host. People are going to get weird about you. You're going to like it. They get real serious about it. Dansby Swanson, the baseball player, people yell, "That sounds fun," about every game at him. So,
really?
Yeah, which I love. He loves it too. He thinks it's really fun. So we're going to find you that. You know, it sounds fun finding you a dude.
Okay, good. Let's get going.
Let's go, you guys. Here we go. That sounds fun to me. Sherry, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. I want you to know how much I appreciate this, how much I loved you from the very beginning.
I felt the same.
Your honesty and sweetness and love for the Lord.
Well, you're very kind. Yeah. You are very kind. Thank you.
We're all going on the road together.
That's right. There we go. Oh, friends, don't you love her? She's just so generous. I said to her after we stopped recording, there is no one who is African-American that signed up to be our teacher, to be the white person's teacher on what this all looks like. But I'm just so grateful for our friends who are willing to teach us as we go and make us better at being humans and being friends. And I'm just so grateful. So, hey, make sure you grab a copy of her book. It's hilarious. It is available everywhere you love to buy books. It's called I Want to Punch You in the Face, But I Love Jesus. So make sure you grab a copy and give her a follow. And remember, we're finding that girl a dude. So y'all just start scrolling through your Instagram. Start thinking through who you know and love that is Sherry's type of guy. And I want you to send them over to her. Send her to them. Her Instagram is I Am Sherry Lynn. SHERRILYNN. Okay, so y'all just, let's go. Let's find this girl a dude. And so just start sending her profile, sending her profile to your friends. You know the kind of guy she's looking for. So also give her a follow. Tell her thanks for being on the show and how much you appreciate everything she said and shared and taught us. I'm really, really thankful. If you need anything else from me, I'm embarrassingly easy to find. You know it. Annie F. Downs, F as in falling in love, because we're hoping Sherry's falling in love after this. We are finding her a good dude. It is not like a king over Israel at the wrong time. It's a king at the right time. That's what we're going to believe for Sherry. So, falling in love, Annie F. Downs, all over the place, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, wherever you may need me. That's how you can find me. And I would love if you would share this episode with some of your friends and get this conversation to continue moving through our friend groups. And if you get a chance to rate and review the show, that would mean a lot. So, I think that's it for me today. Friends, go out and do something that sounds fun to you, and I will do the same. And we'll see you back here on Thursday with a follow-up to our Ennea Summer 2019, Your Enneagram Questions Answered by one of my very favorite experts. So we'll see you back here on Thursday.